Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Greetings, Calvary, as we visit our home church from a distance, really, this year, to be your missionaries and report what Jesus Christ is doing in the Middle East and in Eurasia. Thank you, Pastor Steve and Susan and all of our Calvary friends for the privilege of being your missionaries, and thank you for your financial support. Thank you for your prayers. I'm going to miss being with Pastor Steve in some country that we would usually visit and see what accomplishments have been done by the church. Actually, this is the first time in, I guess, 35 years that I haven't been with you in person, and I sincerely miss the opportunity to do that. COVID has changed our lives drastically in how we do life, how we work, how we go to school, how we buy groceries, how we go to church, what we fear, maybe why we fear. Our world is not the same, but our God is the same. And COVID-19 hasn't changed who God is or his word or who he really is going to be in our lives. In the last 35 years, Carol and I have been doing missions. We've seen a lot of upheavals. We've seen government overthrows. We've seen revolutions. We've seen killer earthquakes. In fact, in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, there was 250,000 people killed in one day, which compares pretty highly to 9,500 in Canada through our COVID, even though that's very terrible. But thousands of people's lives have been touched over the years, and that's exciting that we've seen so many people come to Christ. I'd like to read what the Word is saying about who we can trust and what our trust needs to be put into. It's a famous passage that we all love, and I'd like to share it with you. It's in John 14, 1-7. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, he said, "Lord, how can we know the way and where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know and have known and have seen him." And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you that you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father, and I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak, I do not speak by my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Let's just look at verses 1-3 again. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So Jesus tells us about a peace and a place and a promise. I guess when we talk about peace, wow, that's pretty comforting for what God's saying, but we look around and we look at our television and we look at the news for the last 6 months. It's pretty gloomy. May I suggest you turn off the news? and maybe take it in smaller doses. Take it where you could digest it. My wife Carolyn and I were both probably news junkies, and we turned it off about 3 months ago. It was just getting depressing. And so we turned it off, and we felt a lot lighter since, watching all those talking heads tell us how terrible it is and how gloomy it is. So may I suggest there's an alternative, and that you dig deeper into God's Word, because that's more comforting. His Word is packed full of peace promises that lift up your soul. Our peace is based on our belief in God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and we know that He is trustworthy, and He gives us a foundation for peace upon which we can build our life. He is our peace. Right now, you may have your neighbors and that need a real infusion, my neighbors as well, an infusion of peace, a deed of kindness, or a word of encouragement, some love that you could give them. I may have told you the story, but I'm going to tell you again about an Argentine pastor that I knew, and he was going to deliver his sermon. He delivered his sermon that Sunday, and he thought, you know, I don't think they're responding to me. Next Sunday, I'm going to put together a super sermon. Super sermon is when you take a combination of all your other good sermons, pack them into one, and call it a super sermon. So he put together his super sermon, and he got up on the Sunday morning after the choir and after all the announcements and everything like that, and he stood up to everybody, and he said, "Love one another." And then he went and sat down. Well, everybody was a little awkward, of course, for a minute or so. And then he finally got up back up again and he said, "Love one another." And he sat down again. Another awkward silence as everybody says, "Whew, what's going on?" But one man stood up in the service and he says, "I think he means it." And he said, "I've got a business, and I know somebody in the congregation this morning that needs a job. I'm going to go back and talk to him right now." And he gets out of his seat, and he heads back, and he talks to the man that needed the job. And then a lady jumps up in another part of the congregation, and she says, "I have a room in my house, and I know a lady here that needs a room and a place to stay. I'm going to go talk to her right now." So she got up, and she went right in the middle of the service, because pastor's not preaching, went in the middle of the service and started speaking to the person that needed a room. Then somebody got up and said, "Well, I've got extra furniture, and I know somebody that needs furniture. They just moved in, and they've got nothing. I'm going to go talk to them." So they got up out of the services. Pretty soon, the church came alive. The church was loving one another. They were not just staring at the back of somebody's head, waiting for the sermon to happen. They were actually in action. So these are deeds of kindness, and the scripture tells us that we read them, they come alive. John 13, verse 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you will love one another, and by this you will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is, you need to get out behind your COVID fortress that you're in, and show your neighbor some deed of kindness. It might be baking. It might be mowing their lawn. It might be shoveling snow. It might be some deed of kindness that you can do. But we need to get out of our barriers and our fortresses that we're behind right now and go out and touch the world. This is the time the world is hurting. This is the time your neighbors are hurting. This is the time we need to move out. In Bethlehem, where we have a church that's moved out, let me tell you about young pastor Kadar Corey and his church, and it's come alive since COVID. I haven't heard many churches come alive since COVID, but his church has come alive, and I'm talking to him back and forth. I said, "What do you mean it's come alive?" He said, "Well, in Palestine here, we've been locked down quite early in the pandemic, and I got permission from the local police to go out and start distributing food hampers to my Muslim neighbors." And so he said, "I've been delivering food hampers. Our church is all active involved in this." And he says, "Well, this thing snowballed, and the Bethlehem mayor got on board, and he gave me another list of more people, more of my Muslim neighbors." And he said, so we started looking after as many people as he could. He said, so they did what they had in hand. And at first they could look after 15 families. And well, they said, our church now, which is a church of 35 to 45 people, very small church, but it's a typical Middle East church. He said, we've got 500 families that we're looking after that are on our need help list. Then we said we decided to raise food for the people in the area, and we came up with a greenhouse project. So somebody gave us some land donated to use, and we're working on a greenhouse project. So he told me about this a few months back, maybe 2 months ago, and we've raised $11,000. That's on his way to him, and they're going to build a greenhouse that'll grow vegetables on a regular basis and also be able to sell some of those. So they'll give and they'll sell and that. So it's a self-perpetuating project. So what I'm saying is we can't just sit waiting for normal to happen. Normal's gone. It's a new normal. It's a new day. And it's probably not going to happen. We need to be proactive. And so we must lead people to peace that they can only find in God. So the first one we're looking for is peace. John chapter 14, verse 2 says that Jesus talked about a place. I like this one. This is a good one. In my Father's house are many mansions. We all like that part, don't we? If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And we've all dreamed about what that place would look like and what it would be about like. But as you can see, this world system seems to be on a self-destruct mode. And we can comfort one another with the Apostle John's writings in Revelation, the back of the book, Revelation 21 and 22. I really like this part because this is the part we win, and this is what our spoils are, and this is what we're going to look forward to. And our God has prepared for us a new heaven and a new earth that is incomprehensible. And in this new home, it's going to be our new home that we really shouldn't get too comfortable here in this present day, in this present home, because he's got so much better prepared for us. Our mission goal is still the same as it's always been, to occupy until he comes. That's why I like Matthew 28 and chapter verses 18 to 20. It says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The word is still to go and make disciples. Well, most nations have come to Canada, so we're in a kind of a fortunate place for many of you that don't really want to go overseas, but we're still called to make disciples. And you can do that so many places. You can do it in Starbucks. You can do it at work. You can do it at school. You can do it in home groups. You can do it in coffee shops. In the Ukraine, where we've got quite a large work, there's 230 churches there, plus our big mother church, our work has been forced to slow down and for several months. And because many of the churches, the rural churches, are without internet, there's kind of a temporary disconnect. They're still meeting, but it's a disconnect from everybody else in the family. Online giving is not available. It's not a possibility in the Ukraine. So there's a crucial need for some of the churches just to keep operational. World Missions COVID Emergency Relief Fund helped at least six. In the last 6 months, we've been able to really help them feed hundreds and hundreds of people, mostly homeless at the time, in downtown Kiev. In the town of Krushinka, our Calvary Christian Church project 2 years ago where we planted a church is doing well. And Pastor Max gives his greetings to you. I see him online every once in a while, and he's taken the ministry to town. He's basically packed up the ministry and taken it to the people. So he's out there doing door-to-door food delivery, and his people are doing food delivery, words of encouragement. And he gets to pray for a lot of opportunities. Every time he goes to a house, the doors just fling open and they welcome him in. They probably don't have as many protocols or maybe as many fears as we do about COVID spread. So in these small towns and villages, they just do what they have to do. So all the people pretty well get some pretty personal attention. So I just say to you, don't be afraid to ask people their prayer needs. There's so many people that need prayer, and many have many needs. It's a door opener. How can I pray for you? What can I pray about? You can't imagine the fears that some people have. So for us in Canada, it's a little more different for us to find somebody that maybe needs a food hamper, but there's plenty of people that are filled with daily fears, especially if they're watching the media, that they've been reminded of all the bad news that's out there. So I hope you have taken care of your own anxieties and worries and are at peace, because you need to be the encouragement to your neighbor. You need to be an encouragement to a lot of people that need you, just as Christ is to us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." In Romania, just another country I want to touch on, they've been out from under communism for about 30 years. And mostly the over 40s generation can remember what went on. But the most of the difficulties right now are with the elderly. And I told you about Pastor Mircea last year and his wife, and they started taking in homeless elderly people. Can you imagine? I don't know. A lot of our seniors downtown, Vancouver or any of the countries across Canada, probably got seniors that are in there that are homeless. So he started taking in some of those homeless in his village of Tinka, and they started building shelters for them and getting food for them. They're just a simple couple that don't have a real background of how to run anything. And pretty soon they had 50 elderly people that they'd sheltered and put in place in their a building they'd built. And then they ran out of space and they needed more. So they went to the next village close by of Kokuba Mayor, and they found more space, but they also found more needs. So they ended up with 100 people total. So right now they are looking after about 100 people that are dependent on them. It's called the Pinnell Elderly Home, and they could use your help anytime that we could put a project together for them. And Calvary's always been a church that has cared for the needs of the less fortunate. When Carol and I were in Haiti for our first 9 years back in the 80s, Calvary was always there and had our backs, and we saw hundreds of needs that were met on a daily basis. Being the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, there was always a need at hand for sure. So today there's no shortage of needs probably around the world. And one country that we have we are promised a blessing from God is, if we bless them, is Israel. So in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on the earth will be blessed." In Israel, it's a fascinating country. It's gone through a series of lockdowns very early in the whole thing, and that precipitated a lot of job losses. And the majority of the people that we work with are the Russian-speaking Jews. There's 1.5 million Russian-speaking Jews that have returned back to Israel over the last 20 years or so. And many of those are alcohol and drug addicted. Either they got addicted in their home countries of Russia, Ukraine, Moldova, wherever they came from, or they got addicted in Israel itself. So we've had a whole ministry that's grown out of that need. And now there's hundreds and hundreds of rehabilitated addicts that are willing to work for Christ. These guys really, girls as well, these people really will turn your crank, so to speak. One guy said, "This is the best thing going in my life," his new life in Jesus Christ. One of the new converts said to me, he says, "All I need is a bedroll and a plate and a fork, and I'm set to work for Christ." Where he's not looking for any money or remuneration or anything like that. What do we need before we're ready to work for Christ? Good question we have to ask ourselves. So in spite of all the lockdowns and job losses, there's now 33 churches. Many of them have drug rehab centers, and they continue to reach out to the lost. In fact, during COVID, so last month, they baptized 36 new converts in the Jordan River. Now, we'd all like to be baptized in the Jordan River, but have we seen any converts in many of our churches across North America? Most people have hunkered down and just kind of hid. So also last month, we got a donation that allowed us to open our location number 33 in Israel. And it was a women's rehab center, safe house, church. So a combination of all in a big, a huge house. And into those houses, we can most times put 30 to 50 people for doing church there. And in the rest of the week, it's used as the rehab center and a safe house. And I guess we're ready now to do number 34 in a location called Migdal Emek. It's in the Valley of Megiddo, which is the Valley of Armageddon, which I don't want to be there when the battle takes place. So as soon as we've raised $8,000 for that, we move forward with that church plant. So in the last 6 months, we've also seen hundreds of Holocaust survivors that have been fed. They run around $20 a month, but we've done probably 300 to 500 of them on a regular monthly basis. There's a little country named Belarus. It's up under Russia, and it's literally tucked right under Russia, and it needs our prayers. Last year, we planted 4 new churches there, and I traveled throughout the country. It was all at peace. Everything was wonderful, and but Belarus has always been under the thumb of Russia. It's kind of their showcase country where we've poured all our money, and this is all the things they do if they all stay in line. But in the last month, they've had their presidential elections, and now there's thousands of protesters in the street protesting a very suspicious election, they call it. So many of those protesters have disappeared. And in talking with our leaders there, they said it's just not a good case right now. Let me finish up with talking about Turkey, Asia Minor in your Bible. Chapter 15 of Acts all the way to the end is almost taking place in Asia Minor, Turkey. So Ismail Serkan and I, we video conference quite a bit back and forth, and I just love that family. I've known them for 19 years, watched their children grow up, and just amazing, amazing family. Ismail married a Romanian from one of our churches in Romania, and they are a power team. Most of his work is thriving in satellite TV work, social media, online services that beam all over Middle East and into Europe as well. And also we have our churches in Ankara, Laodicea, and Antioch. They told me an interesting story about his daughter, Siona, who's just turned 11. And in his September newsletter, he wrote of a vision she had while they were doing their morning devotions. Let me read what he said in his newsletter. He said, "One morning we were worshiping as a family. While we were worshiping, our daughter, Siona, heard someone singing along with us very beautifully. When our worship song finished, our daughter asked if we heard the voices singing. We said, no, but maybe it's angels that are singing along with us, and we continued our worshiping. Our daughter asked again if we'd heard someone singing with us, and during the worship, we noticed our daughter had looked back several times at somebody. There was nothing visible behind her, and we asked her what was happening. Siona said that she saw an angel that was singing with us. She saw the angel that was singing with us, and she described the angel to be a shining brightly and looked like a blue-eyed child, like about her age. As we continued to worship, the angel touched our daughter's shoulder and whispered a word gently into her ear. When our daughter started saying the word, she told us that she felt great power and authority. After that, she said the word a few times. To our surprise, she started speaking in tongues for the first time. We were very excited and very joyful, and suddenly she said, 'I know what the meaning of the word is I'm saying.' She told us about one of the words that says that the word means that Jesus is coming soon. When she looked up at the ceiling, she said, 'I saw Jesus Christ sitting on a golden throne, and he was smiling down at us.'" Ismail said, "We were so encouraged and excited by this experience that our daughter had, this, especially during this current pandemic. 2 months later, after the vision passed, one night she saw a vision And she shared it with tears in her eyes the next morning when she told us that she saw the return of Jesus last night. He suddenly appeared in the clouds, she said. I have a feeling that he is coming back much sooner than we think and we expect. I don't know about you, but I believe that Jesus is going to return very soon. Very imminent, as the word goes. And that's going to happen. And Jesus is coming back soon. And just like little Siona, I think that he's coming back even sooner than we think and expect. Finally, John 14, verse 3, the B part of it, it says, I will come, this is about a promise. He says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We have a promise in Jesus' personal return for us that are born again and have confessed Christ as our Savior. Romans tells us about that. If you look at Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that he has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Think of it. A personal signature is on your salvation. As you receive him, he's coming to receive you. And as I said, we can believe that the coming is probably very, very soon, as far as I'm looking forward to. This world system is kind of saying we're ready to go. It's all kind of heating up for that direction. In John, 1 John 3 and 3, it says, for everyone who has hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So in this troubled world, Deuteronomy also says in Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, nor did he to be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. So our message to the nations is where it's always been, to serve him and tell about them about the peace through the life in Jesus Christ, a place that he's preparing for them, and a promise that he's coming soon. It's always our honor to be your missionaries. It's always our honor to be in Calvary and be a part of Calvary and the outreach that you have around the world. You've touched so many lives. And I just want to pray as we end this that God will continue to bless you. You'll encourage others around you, and that the Lord will prepare your heart for his soon return. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, that they've made an impact in the world. I thank you they've made an impact in the community. Lord, I just pray a blessing on the pastors, Pastor Steve and Susan, and Lord, each person that works on staff, each person that attends this church, each person that is connected with this church, that this will be a world outreach center. Lord, that they'll impact the lives of the community around them. And Lord, when hearts are discouraged and our hearts are heavy and hearts are not knowing which way to turn, Father, that you'll send someone from Calvary Christian Church to them, Lord, to be a word of encouragement, to be a touch of love in their life. So, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing here. I thank you for the message that we have to take around the world, that you're coming soon. And, Lord, I pray a blessing on everybody that's listening, everybody that is part of this church and a part of this body. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.